Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson.
All right. It's Thursday night, and welcome to a special edition of Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and tonight, y'all, we are talking about my alma mater, my high school, William M. Raines High School, and it's the big weekend, y'all, Northwest Classic, where we take on the more Reebok Trojans. Of course, we're going to beat them down, I'm just telling y'all, but it's a special edition, so I hope y'all ready for some fun. And with me on the line, I have Miss Betty Miller, Miss Viking Extraordinaire. It's Ichiban, Betty. How are you doing this evening?
Ichiban, Eric, and also hooah.
That's what I was talking about. A veteran also.
That's right. We're also two V's, Vikings and veterans.
Imagine that. Oh, so how are you doing today? How's it going down there in Jayville?
I'm doing fine, and it's going tight down here. We're getting ready to whip up on those Trojans.
And that's what I'm talking about, and that's why we're on the air tonight, so we can talk about them Trojans. You know, I'm going to post the link. Well, I hope you going to post the link for me so we get some of them on the air and see what's going on with those folk down there in Jacksonville. Now, you know, I noticed you like the historian. So, you know, tell us something about these schools and this great rivalry.
Well, to begin with, Raines started in 1965. It opened its doors in January the 25th, 1965, to the first students. I am one of the sort of original Vikings since my class came in 1966. I'll start with Raines, because Raines is a historically black high school, and a lot of your listeners may not know of William M. Raines, but they may know of Harold Carmichael, Kenny Burrell, Brian Dawkins, Bob Hayes was a from Gilbert.
Oh, okay.
His high school had a principal by the name of William Marion Raines. And that's where Raines got his name. So once Gilbert High School, which was where Bob Hayes was from, closed down, the Bob Hayes track started being held at Raines. But Bob Hayes was from Gilbert. But we've had many, many illustrious people from Raines, especially in the sports world. We're currently battling for the number one title of having the most professional football players from a high school in the country.
Wow.
But, Raines was started uniquely here in Jacksonville. The original principal was allowed to pick and choose those educators that he wanted to be on his staff and faculty at Raines. So Raines, even though it was a public school, it basically had that private school feel to it. And it stayed that way because the principal set the term Ichiban, which is a Japanese term meaning number one. He also because rains cost $2 million to build and was one of the first high schools that cost that much in Duval County, we became $2 million students. So that's where Ichiban and $2 million students came. And the students were expected to act that way. And therefore, that's the beginning of how Reigns was begun. Now, Reebok, on the other hand, was an all-white school originally. And be honest, even though the school, two schools are less than a mile apart, and I'll tell you the reason for that was because when they built Reigns, they built it in order to keep the black students from going to the white high school, having to go to the white high school because it was overcrowded. Our school, Northwestern Junior Senior High School, was overcrowded. Mm-hmm. So they made Northwestern the junior high school and Reigns the senior high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they built the two schools. They built Reigns so close to Revolt that, like I said, we're less than a mile apart. No other school, high schools in Jacksonville are that close together. So when Revolt, when integration first came to the high schools in Jacksonville, which my class, the class of 1970, was the last class in which the school was not at all integrated. We were all segregated. Still, they started integrating the high school for the class of 1971, but the seniors remained the same. The lower classes began to mix. And from what I understand, there was a whole bunch of fights over at Revolt High School when those black faces started showing up. And since that time, now Revolt is basically predominantly black, and we have begun the Northwest Classic, which, because the two schools are so close together, you have a lot of siblings that chooses different schools. You may have a brother going to Revolt and a brother going to Reigns. In fact, our track coach at Reigns, Stephen Bellamy, his brother is a Trojan, and Stephen is a Viking. That's just how the families, you know, become so divided. And, of course, everybody wants their school to be the better school. But
that's true.
As we all know, and anyone listening can get this, as we all know, the Vikings are the better school.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's right, y'all. And that's right.
In fact, we've whooped up on them far more times than they've whooped up on us.
You know, I was about to ask that question. Do you happen to have the series record? Because I know we don't put it on them for quite a while.
I believe it's around 21 to 13, something like that, that we've won.
No, okay.
You know, in fact, today I posted a picture of the Trojans' theory. Only come out every once in a while and wish them to win.
Wow. All right, y'all. Oh, this is a special night on Let's Talk. We celebrating the Northwest Classic between the Reigns Vikings and the Revolt Trojans. I'm from Reigns High School class of 1981. Now, if y'all like Reigns, y'all Vikings or Trojans out there want to talk with me and Betty, no problem. Give us a call, 347-838-8622. Hit me in the chat room. Just sign into your Facebook or MySpace, whatever your local media site is, and we can talk in the chat room as well. Hey, we got some time, so bring it on, you Trojans. We waiting on you. You know, I was reading recently, though, it seems like we having a little bit of trouble down there with our schools. Well, I see it's coming up a little bit better. Can you, tell us a little bit about what happened? You know, because I'm really big on education, and I see, you know, it's like it was slacking a little bit.
Yeah, both Reigns and Reebok got into trouble with the FCATs. I don't know if you all have that out in Texas or not, but or something similar. But the FCATs is a test that was established to rate how well students were learning in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And both Reigns, Reebok, along with another high school, Andrew Jackson, fell into what they call an intervention status, in that they were failing the FCATs. And they were talking about closing all three schools.
Wow.
You know, and it, of course, with us Vikings, we were up in arms about it. A lot of people became involved in trying to do what was best for the kids and put an effort into making sure that the kids got the equipment and the knowledge that they needed. And they recently got off the intervention status, and now the Vikings are number 11 among the high schools in Jacksonville. And as I kind of told the kids, we're hoping that they will soon take their rightful place as being number one in Jacksonville. You know, it's really kind of unique, Eric, in that we have a Brain Bowl contest where students from the different high schools compete as far as knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And Reigns has won the Brain Bowl three times in a row.
Wow.
All while it was on the intervention.
Hmm.
We were still beating other high schools in that bowl. So it's not that the kids are dumb or slow, but, you know, I really don't know what the problem was, but we have bright kids, very bright kids at Reigns. You know, and it was just amazing that they could even be on the list.
Hmm. Wow. You know, and, you know, I remember reading about it, and I was like, really? You know, because I remember when I was there, man, I mean, you know, academics were the main thing, you know, and then the standards were
right.
High. So, I was wondering, you know, had the standards, you know, been lowered a little bit, or was the fall of Reigns and Reebok due to the bureaucracy, you know what I'm saying, the bureaucracy that, you know, that I guess came with the different administrations of the city?
I don't know, but, you know, like I said, the kids are bright, and
right.
They were winning all over the place as far as when it came to knowledge. But sometimes, you know, people can be bright and not be able to take a test.
Uh-huh,
you
right.
know, That's one of the things that could happen. But, you know, just the other day, we had about 14 or 15 kids get accepted to one of the nearby colleges here in Florida. And I was proud to announce that. Yeah, I was proud to announce that, you know. The same year that the kids were on intervention. Now get this. Three students from Jacksonville won Gate Millennium Scholarships. Three students from three different high schools.
Mm-hmm.
One of those students was from a private school here in Jacksonville, Bowles, which I know,
okay.
I'm sure you've heard of.
Yes, of course.
The other two, right, the other two was one from Reebok, an intervention school, and two from Rains, an intervention school.
Wow. Okay, so if we got all those bright students, then how did we get them put on the intervention list?
I be honest with you, I have no idea. But you know, since I've been a student, and since they almost from the very beginning, Rains has been a school, and please, whoever's listening, I'm not trying to put down any other school in Jacksonville, but we were set basically as a private school within a public school system.
Mm.
And as you said, Eric, academics was very, very much stressed.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning of Rains, you know.
Right.
We have the first school, I don't know if you know it, but back in the early 60s, all the schools in Jacksonville lost their accreditation.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes. And the first school to be accredited in 1968 when Duval County was being up for trying to win back their accreditation. The first school to be accredited in Jacksonville, Florida, was Rains High School.
Hmm. Oh, go ahead, Vikings. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. You know, and being, you know, I read the story behind that, and.
Mm-hmm.
The group who came to accredit the school said basically this, that the students were orderly and basically mannerable, but that could be achieved in any army barracks or a police state. What separated Rain's students and made them different from that situation was the fact that from the faculty to the staff to the students, we all had pride.
All had pride. That's what I'm talking about.
We all had pride. You know, back in my day, you couldn't walk by a piece of paper without and let another student see you do it without them telling you, hey, you at Rains. You don't walk by paper. You pick
it up. Mhm. See, that's what I'm talking about. And you know, and I remember. Oh wow, I remember because you had Coopers behind. You know, because I was in ROTC, so we had Colonel Porter. You know, let's see, man, we had some everybody. It's been so long ago. Wow.
I know. I was there. I was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there when Dr. Julian White was the band director.
Okay.
Now, some of the people may not know the name I mentioned, but if you've seen or heard of Florida A&M's band, then you know who I'm talking about.
Right. Right.
You know, he was drum major during his days at FAMU, and he became band director of William and Rain's band.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Because I remember at one time we used to say Northwestern was Little Reigns and Reigns was Little FAMU. Because it's like it was the you know, training ground right there for the majority of the students.
Well, you may have some dispute from the older Yellow Jackets because they were our big brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
Because when Reigns opened his doors to students for the first time,
mm-hmm.
grades 9 through 12 from Northwestern came over to Reigns.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And the first class to graduate from Reigns was actually, it wasn't really Reigns then. It was school number 165. They didn't even have a name for it.
Wow.
Was the class of 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was in that class?
I'm scared to ask. Who was in that class?
You ever heard of the group called the Commodores?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of the Commodores.
You ever heard the song Brick House?
Oh, yeah. Brick House, yeah.
The co-writer of Brick House, one of the Commodores, a gentleman by the name of Walter Orange, was in the class of 1965.
Wow. 1965.
Yep. And he's the only Commodore that studied music at Tuskegee in Alabama.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. See, y'all, if y'all listening, man, that's nothing but knowledge. See, that's what we're talking about right there. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, you're from this school, but it's another thing to learn about it. You know, see who went there before you, you know. Who else yelling Vikings? You know, hey, y'all listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. We got a special show tonight dedicated to the Reigns Rebolt Northwest Classic, y'all. So your Vikings and Trojans out there, y'all get on these lines and give us a call, 347-838-8622. We want to hear from you tonight. Hey, we got 2 hours, so you ain't got no excuse. Come on, scandal ain't on yet. Lord have mercy.
Yep.
I
may be bragging a little bit, but I'm very proud of the history that our alumnus
mm-hmm.
have made. They, you know, we have. In fact, if you take us and you compare us with a lot of other schools that have been high schools far longer than we have, we've accomplished a lot.
A whole lot.
You know, we've had an assistant secretary of HUD.
Wow.
Arthur J. Hill, class of 1966, became Assistant Secretary of HUD under the first George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened the first black-owned bank in the state of Florida.
Wow. See, those things we don't even, you know, some of us don't know about. You know, and that's why it's good to have historians and people like you, you know, to inform us of what's going on. I mean, we know the recent stuff from when we went to school, but, you know, it's good to know, go back a little further and see who the alumni are that's out here in the world, you know, performing some great things.
Right.
That is
right.
Outstanding.
And we have one of the top romance writers in the country.
Really?
Really. She's a New York Times best-selling author.
All right.
Brenda Jackson.
All right. What class was she in?
She was in the class of 1971. She came out the year behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the number one romance writer in the country.
Wow. Wow. That's what I'm talking about right there. Did you see? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, you know, when one time we were the only high schools to get to play in the Gator Bowl every year. You know, that's
yes,
before it became.
We were.
Yeah, you know, that became before it became, you know, Jacksonville Municipal Stadium and all that other stuff. You know,
yeah,
everybody looked
yeah.
forward to that. Wow. That's what I'm talking about right there. Shoot. So what else is going on around there with our high schools?
It's party time right now. It is party time. The biggest cocktail party in Northeast Florida is about to begin Saturday.
About to begin Saturday.
That's right.
You know what? You know what I like to see though, and it shows that. These schools are in the same community because I like to see the way our alumni work together with each other. You know, even though, you know, we Vikings and Trojans, when it comes to coming together, we do it without a problem. And that's one of the great things. Even the classes come together.
Right. You have a lot of alumni from both schools that, in fact, you know, and this is a very sweet thing that occurred this past Sunday. One of the churches here in Jacksonville opened their doors so that the Vikings and the Trojans could come together and worship together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody prayed together and everything so that Before the feud began, you know, and it's a remarkable thing. You come together and you pray, and then you beat up on each other.
That is so true. Hey, I noticed you put something out today about we got a Viking that made the Ebony magazine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well. He created his own version.
Oh, he did.
He did. the top high school in the top high school in the country.
Oh man.
And he put Viking pictures and everything else. We're talented. We're talented.
Hey, we gonna advertise ourselves. It don't matter.
That's right.
Wow.
We're not gonna wait for somebody else to do it. We're Vikings. We're gonna
That's
do
right.
it
we're
ourselves.
That's right. We proud. All right, you Trojans, where y'all at out there? But you're right. You are absolutely right. I can't believe he did that. He even fooled me. I'm like, all right, that's cool. That's not right. That is not right. Wow.
Yeah, we Vikings, we create our own. You know, if you want to open the door for us, we'll open it for ourselves.
See, we just going to kick it in ourselves. You know, it's
that's
okay.
It.
Heck yeah.
That's it.
Shoot. Well, you know what? That's all right. While we waiting on the rest of our gang to get here, let's talk about some other things. You know, I know me and you, we be online, we be talking about some things. Like Mr. Colonel Wilkerson, you know, the article you put out there, you know, when he's talking about his
right,
own Republican
right.
Party. You know, it's kind of
right.
refreshing to see somebody actually tell the truth about what's going on in the Republican Party. You know?
I know. You know, it's sad that, you know, you have a party that's going in that direction. At one point in time, they said that they wanted that the party was going to be inclusive, and they were begging for people to come and join the party, saying that they would offer something different than what the Democrats were offering to people of color.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now you've got people of color who has come on board with the party, and the party is just becoming total racist. And as Colonel Wilkerson said, you know, and he's a Republican. And
right.
He said that the party has become a bastion of people who are racist for people who are racist. And, you know, eventually what they're going to do is they're going to push out people who have a reasonable or a moderate view of things. You know, if you want a contest, you know, I don't think any American want it to be all one party. You want a contest because that keeps the other party working better for the people. But
mm-hmm.
if you're going to get a contest that's only about the color of your skin, you know, what religion you are, and similar things, then you don't have a choice. You have to go with a party that's going to basically be for everyone. And even though I'm a Democrat, it's sad to see that situation occurring in the Republican Party. Colonel Wilkerson said it best today. He said he was a Republican. He said that he was going to be forthright and honest, and that all this election is about now is getting the black guy out.
And that is that is so true. And you know, like I've done some shows on that, and I just would want to tell the people, you know, I tell them all the time, it's not like they're hiding their hands, you know. It's not a secret. You know,
it's not.
It's not a secret.
It's not.
You know? So
it's
you just
blatant.
Yes, it is.
The only way you cannot know that what is going on is if you decide to read everything and say, I'm going to ignore it. Because there is no way with everything that's come out lately that you cannot know what it is. I mean, let's face it, you got a man who has no set policies, no set ideas, no set nothing. Everything he has said, he's geared it one way and then turned around and geared it another way. That, you know, and everyone who he has mentioned or said anything about has said he's a liar. But yet, now that he's the man to represent that party, you know, the racists are coming up behind him and saying he's our man. Well, you know he's wrong. You know he's wrong.
Yeah.
As Colonel Wilkerson said today, with the primaries, and even
mm-hmm.
now, Romney does not let the people know where he stands.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The only thing people can say that he stands for and those who support him stand for is to get the black man out of office.
And that's the bottom line right there. Get the black man out of office. You know, and I like the way he put it, you know, early in the piece, the interview, you know, about all the things that President Obama actually, you know, inherited when he actually came into office. You know, he said,
right.
you know, the things he and I tell everybody, this man inherited two wars, not one, but two wars, and all the things that go along
right.
with that, you know, then a failing economy, you know, so, I mean, and everybody expect a miracle in 4 years. There ain't no way that was going to happen. And then to
well,
add to it, you know, we not like he was getting much participation or cooperation out of the Senate. I mean, you know, the Republicans were there. So that made it even worse.
Well, but, you know something, Eric, both you and I are veterans, okay?
Uh-huh.
And both you and I said at one point in time we were willing to give up our life for this country, okay? And we did that. We did that believing that this country would take care of us if something happened. And our families, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not because we're demanding it, but because it's the right thing to do. And yet, you have someone like Romney, by the way, who I call a draft dodger.
Anyone
is listening, yes, he dodged the draft. He was drafted four times. And he deferred four times during the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
I am a female Army vet. I wore a skirt. And draft dodgers hid behind my skirt. And Romney hid behind my skirt.
Put it on out there.
And then now he's going to say that he could not even mention the military because we weren't on his list of important things to talk about.
But yet, I guess,
if I had dodged the draft four times and hid behind the skirts of women who were willing to go so that my place would not be emptied, then I wouldn't think the military was important to talk about either.
All right. Yeah, you ain't never lied about that one. And you know, the other thing is, you know, and, you know, at, before he was talking about doing this to Iran and doing this, and I'm like, you got five boys. What, he got five boys? And none of them been in the
right.
military either. But yet you want to send somebody else's child over there in harm's way. I'm not feeling that.
Right. Now get this. His dad didn't go into the military.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go in the military. And of his five sons, they're serving their country by trying to make him president. Now, these are not the words out of my mouth. These are the words out of his mouth, that his sons were serving their country by working to make him president. You know, I mean, come on. How cowardly are you and your and then his one son say he wish he could have slapped the president. Come and slap me Come and slap me. Let me show you what this Army veteran can do for you.
Oh, Lord. And you know what, though? And I have never seen so much disrespect for a president since I've been an adult than what President Obama has gotten. You know, and you know, he takes it in stride and he keeps going. That's what I love about him, you know. But it's terrible. You know, him hanging, pictures of him hanging in windows and carrying on.
Right.
Wow. You know, I can't believe, you know, but we supposed to be a better country because of this, see? Like, we going the wrong way.
But you know something? It's kind of like baseball, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was no other baseball player that was ridiculed and cursed out and everything than Jackie Robinson.
Oh, amen about that one.
Okay. It takes certain people to step up. It takes a certain kind of person to step up and say, okay, no matter what you do and what you say, I'm going to be the better person. I'm going to rise above. You know, Maya Angelou wrote a poem called Still I Rise.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of her most favorite ones, famous ones.
Right. And if you take that and you put it to Jackie Robinson and you put it to Barack Obama, they're still rising.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Am I preaching here?
Yeah, you are. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm glad somebody else preaching besides me for a change. And see,
yeah,
and she's a veteran too,
rising.
Y'all. That's right. She's a Viking and a veteran, see? But I tell you, us Vikings got something going on. Y'all just don't know.
They always say, most of the time you can tell a Viking. You know, there's just something about our persona.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We walk with our heads up. We know that word.
well, you know, we started out doing this conversation with a word, Ichiban, that some of your listeners might not know what Ichiban means.
Mm-hmm.
It means, but it's something that every Viking know and every Viking says to each other. And it means number one. Is the Japanese word for number one. And we Vikings know and we Vikings believe no matter what, no matter where we go, no matter what situation we're in, we're number one. In fact, let me tell you a little story about that.
Oh, go right ahead.
Dr. Robinson was visiting a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking through, he was on this committee checking out the prison. And one of the prisoners recognized who he was and shouted out, Ichiban.
Oh, my.
And Dr. Robinson said, even in prison, they're number one.
That goes to prove we are everywhere, y'all. Everywhere.
And we're number one wherever we are. No matter where in the world we are number one always.
You know, I mean, we can imagine the look on his face when he heard that, you know, like, oh, wow.
Probably thought, I never thought a Viking would end up here, but since he is, he's ruling the place.
That's right. Say he's not scared to let nobody know he's a Viking. Wow. You know what? But that's a great thing. That is a great thing. So what type of activities do they have planned for the rest of the week? I know they got the tailgate going on when Saturday.
They got the tailgate, right. Mm-hmm. And they also have after game party. In fact, there's two after game parties. One, which will be going on, will benefit the school. We will benefit both schools, both Reigns and Reball. Tonight there's a party, I believe, at the bowling alley where the Vikings are going to go up against the Trojans for bowling. Monday night we had the alumni basketball game, which Trojans, if you're listening, the Vikings won that too. But in all fairness, let me be fair to the Trojans. The Vikings, of course, we dominate in football normally, but the Trojans most of the time dominate in basketball. You know, they usually have some pretty good basketball teams. And, of course, they are one of our biggest rivals. Also, of course, we don't go all out for the basketball games as we do for the football game. But
really? What happened? Because I know back in my day, we used to pack the gym.
Well, the gym gets packed, but, you know, here the stadiums be packed.
Uh-huh.
The football games, the stadium be packed, and then you have the tailgaters, you know. So that's a far bigger thing with more people, but you have no tailgaters for the basketball game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So... You know, it's still successful and it's still celebrated, but not quite the way the football game is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. You know.
But there are going to be tables with both alumni selling things and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard back, but I do know that one of the Viking alums was hoping to be able to set up a table to take swabs for people who might be willing to donate bone marrow.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. The reason for this, and I hope you'll bear with me, is kind of a commercial, but it's
no problem.
A hard
hey.
Thing.
Yeah. Come on, let it be known.
We had a Viking from the class of 1972 who had a daughter,
mm-hmm.
who is also a Viking.
Mm.
The mother is Janet Hightower Benn. The daughter is Yolanda Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
And both mother and daughter are Vikings. And Yolanda, the daughter, had a young daughter who was by the name of Janae Fagan. And Janae passed away last year at the age of 3.
Wow.
You know, and I call her our little Viking angel.
Mm-hmm.
She had cancer that could have possibly, her life could have possibly been saved had they found a bone marrow donor in time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough blacks who are bone marrow donors. And so they've, on Facebook, they've got Team Janae.
Mm-hmm.
And Team Janae is dedicated to trying to get people, especially black people, involved in bone marrow transplants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I do know she was trying to get a booth at the game this coming weekend so that they could do swabs in order to get people to be bone marrow donors. So that's,
wow,
that's my commercial. You know, and I'm hoping that maybe someone in Texas as well is hearing, and you know, they'll jump on board,
mm-hmm,
and help the cause out, because, you know, I'm hoping that we can avoid other kids like hope we can avoid losing other kids like we did Janae. How I got involved was because the mother asked me to ask the Vikings if they,
mm-hmm,
would pray for her.
Okay.
And I did, and I did, and I became interested in, you know, what was going on with her and everything else. And last April, they lost her. And, you know, that's why I'm still involved, and I try to do any and everything I can to help them when they tell me that they need something.
That is outstanding. And, I mean, and, you know, honestly, you are the voice of the Vikings. You know, anybody will know anything, they know to come to Miss Betty, because Miss Betty going to let it be known. She going to put it out there. Which is a great thing, you know. And I noticed you.
I love my Vikings.
I mean, you be putting job postings out there and everything, so there's no excuse why nobody should be looking for a job, because you let them know when they're out there, you know. And that's outstanding.
Well, you know, Eric, I stumbled on this. you know how they say sometimes the best things that happen are just things that just up and happen.
Yeah.
I started my page because a Viking and a childhood friend of mine said, get on Facebook. And so I did. And, you know, I started finding little interesting tidbits about the school and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I knew, I had a few people asking me two people I had never even heard of asking me if they could join my page. All I knew about them was that they were Vikings. And so I was like, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, the page grew. And the Vikings have, you know, I post jobs because I had Vikings come to me asking me if I knew of jobs. I post scholarships now because I had Vikings come to me and asking me if I knew about scholarships. So the page has evolved because of the request from fellow Vikings,
mm-hmm,
you know. And, of course, since I'm a Viking, I try to give my schoolmates or the information, the 411, as they would say, before anybody else can get it and run with it. You know,
hey, that is,
I'm a Viking and I want to help Viking.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and that is a great thing. How much did you say about, what's the estimate of the people on the page, the number, the actual number?
Right now I have 4,047 people.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's what I'm talking about. Give me a hand clap. Because, I mean, you're looking out for somebody. That is outstanding. You looking out for somebody, and somebody looking out for you. So tell me, you give me some stories from when you was at, you was doing your thing in the band, because you know the band was part of the show back in the day.
This is a story, and I always like to share it because it lets people know just how Dr. White, he was Mr. White back in my days, he was working on his doctor, but how he was like a second father to the band members. You know, our biggest rival back in the day was, Gilbert was a rival, but it wasn't as big as New Stanton High School. Oh, we hated them Blue Devils. In fact, the rivalry we have now with Reebok goes a little, only slightly above the rivalry we had with New Stanton High School. We put on a show one day, right, you know, halftime show.
Right.
And we were together. Oh, we just knew we were the bomb. We stepped out on that field, and I don't know how it happened, but somebody missed their cue.
Uh-oh.
And part of the band started marching towards the other part of the band. And that wasn't supposed to happen. And I played percussion, so I was out in the middle of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the flutes and the clarinets coming towards us, and I was like, wait a minute, are we supposed to turn now? they missed their cue. Mm-hmm. Anyway, somehow or another, we pulled it together, and the biggest part of the show was after we got back and we had a nice little dance, that we few steps that we were going to do and really turn it out, and we did that. And then we had these lights on us.
Oh, and you had some lights on you?
Yeah, we had these lights on. Now, this the bad part. I mean, and that's as bad as in great. The lights went out in the stadium. And all you could see, oh yeah, we were the bomb, man. The lights went out in the stadium, and all you could see was our lights twinkling.
Wow, I can picture that.
After we played our little song and everything, and marched off the field, everybody was like, "Now take that, New Stanton." You know, but we later on that same year, we had a band festival, and wherein we played concert music.
Uh-huh.
And I had some friends that were from that I had met during Junior Achievement that went to Forest High School.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, back in this time, Forest High School was an all white school.
Oh, and that's right.
And me and these kids, we met at Junior Achievement, and became friends. We were all in the band, and we used to talk about our bands and stuff like this. So during the concert, they came to listen to our band, and after they heard our band, they were like, wow, man, you all sound great, fantastic. And of course, me being a Viking and everything, I'm proud that we had impressed them and we had played well. I went and did return the favor to them and listened to their band when they played. And we came out, and finally the rankings came out, and no one could believe it because we hadn't made all superiors. We were just that good, but we hadn't made superiors.
Mm.
We got back to the band room, and Dr. White was very quiet and everything, and we, of course, were quiet because we just knew. Now, another thing about this year, that was the year of 69 for the class of 69.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about that year, we were the first band in the state of Florida to take two bands to the festival that year.
Wow. Not one, but two.
That's just how many people we had.
Mm.
We had a symphonic band, which was the better playing band, the more experienced band, and we had the concert band, which was not as experienced and as good as the symphonic band. But all the hope was, of course, was placed on the symphonic band because most of those students were the better players, more experienced players, and a lot of them was going to be graduating that year.
Okay.
Well, we came back, and we walked in the band room, and everybody was just quiet.
Mm.
And Dr. White sat on the podium, and he began talking to us. And then he put his head in his hands, and he started to cry.
Mm.
And everybody in that room was just silent and grieving.
Mm.
Now, this man has sacrificed, basically, he had a young daughter that was probably not even 2 years old, you know, maybe a year. But
uh-huh.
He has sacrificed Sundays with his family. He has sacrificed being with us in the band room to 6:30 in
mm-hmm.
every afternoon, being with us starting at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And you know, throughout the day, he has sacrificed all of this for us, you know, to make us good.
Uh-huh.
And so this was, you know, really, we felt his pain.
Mm.
And because he was like a second father to us.
Right.
Now, the following year, my year, we made all, there were only two bands in the entire state of Florida that made all straight superiors at that band concert.
Hmm.
One band had been making it for 18 years. The other band was William M. Raines.
Wow.
Now remember, we were only 5 years old as a school at that time.
Hmm. Wow, so that was a major accomplishment.
Oh, you want to really hear a major accomplishment?
Uh-huh.
Now, unfortunately, it wasn't my class that did it, but it was two classes behind us, the class of 1972. Now, this is how great the band was. They were playing another band festival,
mm-hmm.
and the electricity went off in the place.
Uh-oh.
While they're on stage.
Mm.
Nobody could see anything. They didn't miss a beat.
Miss a beat.
They didn't miss a beat. They kept playing.
Mm.
And did not miss a beat.
Wow.
That was the class of 1972.
72, right? 72 yep. Was doing the thing.
well, let's just say they had good teachers.
So you got to take a little credit in there, huh?
I couldn't be there to be one of the ones, so I got to get a little credit in there.
Wow.
But let me tell you something else too about the band. For the past at least 3 years,
mm-hmm.
the percussion section has been winning the battle of the beats.
Now you know what I can.
They
I
have
can
been the
that.
Best.
Mm.
Yep, they have been the best school to come out ahead for the battle of the beats.
Wow, the battle of the beats.
Yep.
I like that. Is that that's something like the Drumline movie Drumline?
That's the Drumline.
Okay. For
that's
y'all
that, that
did for that.
we got that title. We got that title.
Dude, you know, I listened to your story. It made me think about when I was in ROTC back in, let's see, I graduated 81, so yeah, it had to be 80. And then we had, let's see, Rodney Washington. You know, he was the battalion commander. Rawls, Nails. We had a whole bunch of people. Anyway, and we went to Quincy for a drill. You know, Colonel Porter was there. And we went out there on the field, and we got a perfect score. I mean, we did it. Bam, 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 bam. So, so the next week, we had to go to Tallahassee for their little drill meet. Now, I don't know what got into us, but that night before, we decided we wanted to try some red, white, and blue beer. Now, knowing ain't none of us supposed to be drinking. You know, I don't know if you even find red, white, and blue beer anymore, but, you know, that was the cheapest thing they had. Oh, but it was funny because, you know, we was out on the field getting ready to do our thing. Man, that cannon went off, and I think all of us about dropped our weapons. Boy, it was nothing pretty. You know, Colonel Porter, he didn't like that, boy. I mean, he drilled the heck out of us that whole next week. I couldn't, man, red, white, and blue beer. I'm never going to forget that beer.
But you know something, Eric, and I've seen the drill team.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns has always had an exceptional drill team. You guys, you know, I have always loved the drill team.
Mm.
They've just been so, and they get so very little recognition.
Right.
For all the things that they've done, but the Reigns drill team is just exceptional.
Wow. Mm-mm. Somebody say, why were you guys trying to show out? Because y'all was in Tallahassee. That's right. Vikings was in Tallahassee. We going to show Garby and Leon and all them that we were the bomb. Nah, that's right. Now, since you want to talk about Tallahassee.
About us, we still number one.
That's right. We still rock.
We still number one.
Mm. And you know, I tell people that, I say, man, I remember Rodney Washington when we was in the drill team together. You know, he was praying in too. They're like, the big harvest, whatever his church is. I say, yeah, that Rodney Washington, we all was in school together. They're like, wow. I say, yeah. So you just do it. Hey, them Vikings do them things. You know, we do big things. When we do it, it's big.
That's true. That's true. In fact, you know, we've had, there's probably more, but I know of two Vikings that became millionaires.
Wow, really?
You know, really. And they lost it all.
Mm-mm-mm.
But they've found success in other things.
Uh-huh.
You know, both of them were into real estate, investments, and stuff like this. You may have heard of Clark Garrison.
Yeah.
He became a millionaire. Also, Antoine was Roberts. Both became millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And both had situations that they lost it all. But being a Viking, they said, I'm number one and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to go on and be successful. And both of them are very successful. You know, it's that itchy bond thing.
Yeah, itchy bond thing. That's all it is. Number one. You got to be number one. But let me ask you something, get on a serious side for a moment. You know, I know they used to play the game at night. And I understand they play in the afternoons now.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with financing.
Okay.
And let me tell you, I'm not fond of the outgoing superintendent of the Duval County Public Schools because he had a few millions of dollars that was supposed to go into helping the intervening schools, Raines Rebalt and Andrew Jackson, and he hid that money.
He hid it?
He hid it.
Wow.
And now get this. This is gonna really knock you out. They were, you know, Raines here in Duval County, they now have what they call magnet schools, where certain schools are supposed to have the best programs. For instance, New Stanton has the college preparatory.
Mm-hmm.
Raines is the school for mathematics and sciences.
Okay.
Now, because students are interested in certain things and want to do those things in their future, for instance, math and science or to go to college and stuff like this, they were busing students to these schools for the basically the majors that they wanted to be in.
Uh-huh.
Well, all of a sudden, Duval County says, we don't have the money to bus these kids anymore. Parents are going to have to start making arrangements to get their kids to these schools if they want them to be in those programs. Now, Eric, sit back on this. Because Raines was in the intervention status, they decided that kids who wanted to leave Raines and go to another school, they were going to pay the transportation for them to do that. Now, you're from Jacksonville, so you're going to be very familiar with what I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The school that they wanted to bus these kids to was Fletcher High School out at the beaches.
The beaches? Really?
The beaches. 17 miles away from the Raines community.
Mm-hmm.
Bypassing closer schools such as Inglewood.
Right.
First Coast.
Okay, I don't know about
Wilson,
First Coast. Mm-hmm. Terry
First
Parker.
First Coast is Terry Parker, Ed White, Forest High School, Lee High School, all of which are a lot closer to the Raines community.
Right.
Than Fletcher High School is.
I cannot believe they were going to try that one.
Now, you don't have money to send these kids, to bus these kids to the schools for their programs, but you have money to take kids 17 miles away from their community.
Oh, Lord. And everybody was supposed to be okay with that, which I know that did not happen.
Everybody was supposed to be okay. You know, I was like, wait a minute here. What is going on? You know? But, you know, I mean, okay, I can see them not because, like I said, Reigns and Reebok are less than a mile away, so and both of them were in trouble, so I can see you not sending the kids from Reigns to Reebok or from Reebok to Reigns.
To Reigns,
but
right.
To send the kids, yeah, but to send the kids 17 miles to school, 17 miles away from their community.
That is a shame. Wow. That is downright, oh, my goodness. And I know exactly what you're talking about. That's over. Lord.
That's a ride.
Yes, it is. I remember before I went to Reigns, my first year, my sophomore year, I went to Inglewood, and that was a ride, too. So I know. Oh, my goodness.
Now you got money to pay for this, but you don't have money to pay for other for you know sending these kids to these
to the magnet
schools,
right?
Yeah, to the magnet schools.
I hope y'all put a stop to that before we even got started.
Well, you know me, I don't mind controversy. You know, I face it head on.
Face it head on.
In fact, I had one guy. He was my favorite upperclassman.
Uh-huh.
He at first didn't know who I was. Then when I put up my picture from high school, he said, "Hey, I know who you are." He's like, "You were always so quiet." You know, and I was at a meeting a few months ago, and another woman said, "I know who you are. I remember you from high school. You were so quiet." And I said to myself, "Well, I guess the Army changed that."
Yeah, the Army does have a way of changing you, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I'm not such the mouth that I used to be when I was in high school. You know, I joined the Army and it got tough. So yes, I did talk about that. I asked the Vikings. I said, "Does that make sense to you?"
Mm.
You know. Mm-hmm. And especially because now these kids got a long trip, and remember, they're going to have homework and stuff like that.
Right.
It was my thinking that they were setting these kids up to fail.
Yes, that's exactly what they were doing, from my point of view.
You know, because you got that long bus ride to school, and you've got that long bus ride from school. You're cutting into your study time,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, and they basically said they wanted the brightest ones.
Oh, the brightest ones, huh?
The brightest ones.
So now they were picking and choosing also.
Yeah.
The nerve. Wow.
Woo. You know.
Mm-mm-mm.
But that's why, you know, the funds, and what they say are the lack of funds is why the games is now being played in the daytime as opposed to the evening hours. So you don't have to turn the lights on. You can just, you know.
But every other school play their games at night, correct?
Well, you know, our games are on Friday evening.
Right.
At usually start at 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've got school that day and then the game later that evening. But the Northwest Classic, like I said, has been changed. But you know, it it actually gives the people more time and the communities more time to enjoy the game and then fellowship with each other afterwards and stuff
right.
like this, you know. Then if you let's say, for instance, you have the 7 o'clock in the evening, you don't have much time, much daylight left.
Yeah, that's true.
To converse. So it gives an opportunity for everybody to basically be together, to hang out some, and everything before the parties begin. Because just like we Vikings are number one in football and number one in other walks of life, we're number one in partying too.
Say, we love to get our party in, that's for sure.
we love to get that party in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives them an opportunity, like I said, a longer opportunity. And you have some people just come, not even even Vikings or Trojans, that just want to come up and hang out during the game. You know, that's why, like I said, it's the biggest tailgating party in Northeast Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, somebody always knows a Viking or a Trojan. There's so many of us out there. You know,
I know.
You know, and we do have our reputations. we're going to do it right.
That's true.
That's without a doubt.
You know, and all week long we've been trading insults, adding injuries.
Yeah.
You know, and getting our rivalry on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have to say, like I said, back in my day, New Stanton was the biggest rival for us.
Right.
But, you know, this rival, well, to give you a little background on New Stanton, New Stanton High School was in a totally different community.
Right.
So.
Yep. It was off Myrtle Avenue, correct?
Right. So we had our rivalry with them, but they were in one community,
mm-hmm.
and we were in another community. But now, we're both in the same community,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you know, you have the bragging rights. It basically stays at home.
Right.
Because you have brothers and sisters going to the two different schools. So when you have this rivalry, there's a kinship as well. In fact, the other day, one of the Vikings married a Trojan.
Uh-huh.
A Viking from my page married a Trojan. And I put on there congratulations, you know, to them, wishing them the best. And I told the Vikings, I said, we especially wish them the best because this is a mixed marriage. this is a Viking Trojan matchup.
Hey, then just let them know the Viking. Just let them know the Viking is number one, so it don't matter.
That's it. That's right.
Funny.
You know, them Trojans have to the step behind us.
Oh, Lord. You know, it's funny, though, because, you know, when I was coming up, everybody wanted to go Reigns. I mean, you know, if even you had to give a false address or use somebody else's address, so you had to catch the city bus, you know, you catch that city bus from Myrtle Avenue all the way up to the little trail to get through the school, You didn't mind as long as you said you went to Reigns. You know, I'm a Viking. You know,
that's right. You know, we have a saying now, which I don't know who came up with it, but I like it.
Uh-huh.
It's like pride by nature, Viking by choice.
Hmm.
You know, and it lets you know that, well, you know, Eric, I don't know how it was when you were in school, but I know how it was when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to go to the school in which was in your community.
Right, right.
And you didn't have a choice about going to another school unless you did like you were saying, giving somebody else's address and
mm-hmm.
stuff like this. But now the kids have a choice.
Oh, they actually have a choice now?
They have a choice now as to what school they want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So every Viking, you know, and I often tell the young kids, sometimes I feel they're even more Viking than I am, because I became a Viking because I grew up in Magnolia Garden, which surrounds Reigns.
Uh-huh.
So there was
no
there was no discussion as to what school I was going to. But now the kids have a choice as to what school they want to come to. And you've had honor students that had the opportunity to go to Stanton, which has now been made a college preparatory
school, right.
Or to go to Reigns. And you've had them choose Reigns.
Mm. Hey, always come to the top.
Let me tell you a beautiful story.
Okay.
You remember Hurricane Katrina?
Yes.
Okay, I got a message from a Viking that lives in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his family came to Jacksonville after their home was destroyed during Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when he first arrived, his parents put him in one school in Jacksonville, and he did not feel comfortable with that. And so he was given a choice as to what school he wanted to go to. And he wanted to attend a school that was historically Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose Reigns.
Mm.
And he's a Viking. He graduated from Reigns. He's back in Louisiana now.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll tell you in a heartbeat, he's a Viking. He's Itchy Bond. That's right. And he came from Louisiana and decided to go to Reigns, made Reigns his choice,
hey.
You know,
right.
The school he wanted to go to and graduate from.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
so,
well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, you know, this is, of course, I'm a Viking, so I'm going to say this. This is a wonderful school. It's a school that prides itself on everyone being a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, you have legacies. You have children of Vikings who become Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is becoming a generational thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what? But that's a good thing. That's why, you know, no matter what they're trying to do, we need to fight the key things and rebuild. You know, because it is, like you say, it's like a legacy. You know, kids growing up, you got to go to Reigns and rebuild, especially Reigns. I mean, come on now. You know.
I know.
You know, that we set the standard. No, I'm sorry,
Reebok. Especially, you know, and I always remind people of this. You know, no offense to Reebok. Your history is your history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Reign's history is based on the fact that it started out as a all-black high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated, there was 518 of us.
Wow.
In the class of 1970. 518. We're baby boomers. Okay. And believe it or not, that year we were one of the smaller classes in Jacksonville.
Mm.
And we pumped out 518 graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked around among my class,
mm-hmm.
there was not one white face in that class. That's 518 blacks in the class.
Mm.
And the classes before me were the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have that root in the black community, and therefore that connection in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
We are a historically black high school. And that's a legacy. That's a legacy that all Vikings should be proud of and should want to fight to see continue.
Yes. No matter where we are, no matter where we are, you're right. We need to fight to make sure that continues. I mean, because every time I come home, I have to drive by there and look. We're like, yep, it's still here. You know, drive down the back road where Cool used to be, you know, look over there and be like, I remember I used to do so-and-so right there. You know, and Cooper's had the best hamburgers after drill practice. Man, we go in and play the jukebox and eat them hamburgers. He had the best hamburgers. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Let me tell you about Cooper's. Okay, Cooper's was the bomb.
I know.
If you were a Viking, there was no place that you were gonna hang out except at Cooper Corner.
That was it.
I remember walking in and seeing Kenny Burroughs,
mm-hmm.
number 00 for the New Orleans Saints, and Harold Carmichael hanging out with their girlfriends at the time. In fact, mm-hmm. Kenny was going with Miss Cooper's daughter. This was before they became pro football players.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little freshman.
Not the freshman.
the freshman. But, I mean, you know, at Cooper's Corners, man, it didn't matter.
You're right, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Cooper's Corners was the place you could get your hamburger and your drink and everything and just mm-hmm. sit there and be a part of the crowd.
That's it.
You know, I had to announce last year the death of Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lot of Vikings who came and, you know, they were really saddened about it, and they talked about how, you know, they remember, because it was like Cooper's Corners was just a part of Reigns, you know?
Yeah, because it was right outside the back gate. Yep, right outside the back gate. That's right. right outside the back gate.
So, I mean, if you was a student, Cooper Corners was the place to hang.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, you know, they came and they were expressing their memories and stuff like this and saddened by the fact, you know, because they remember Mrs. Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took some, you know, it was a sad, very sad occasion because, you know, she was, everybody knew her. And, you know, it was just sad. And the bikers, you know, knew her and loved her. So a lot of them commented about, you know, how it, you know, that reminds me. One thing, like I said, Reigns is like a family.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we have a lot of people who have been dedicated to the school. In fact, we grieved over Reverend Frazier week before last, mm. who had been the chaplain for the Vikings ever since 1965 when the doors opened.
Wow.
You know. And he began every prayer to the God of the Vikings.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, we have the biker family, but we also have the Trojan family, and the two families come together, and feud, but we enjoy our feud.
Right, right. You know, that's just part of it. That is just part of
yep.
it. Mm. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting here thinking about Cooper's, and I know every day I used to go in there, I used to always have to play Shalimar, Full of Love in You. That was on there. And every day I went in there, that's what I had to play.
you know, when that song came out, I was in Belgium.
No, really?
Really, I was in Belgium.
Wow.
I remember that song very well.
I do, too, because I always had to put my money in the jukebox. I had to hear that song. Yes, sir. You know, they already knew what I was going to play. They, get away from that jukebox. Nobody want to hear that today. Sure, it just sounded good with my, look, sounded good with my hamburger, I guess. I don't know. Just, I love that song. Shoot, that was it, man. You know, it's just so many memories. Good Lord. Ooh,
I remember going
to lunch. We used to, you know, we had a choice. You know, you can go eat in the lunchroom, you know, what were they selling in, donuts and whatever, or just sit out there in the hallway and just chat. Most times that's what we did, just sit out in the hallway and just talk, you know, like, you know, just talk, chatting, nobody bothered you. You know, like, wow. Just the friendships that you had then, and you're like, wow. Now I think about it, you know, it just brings a smile to my face, you know, and man, you just can't get good friendship and family like that, because, like you say, we were a family. You know, no matter
yep.
what, everybody
yep.
looked out for each other. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember when and, having gym class with Claude, wasn't it Claude Nancy Jones, I think? Yeah. So, wow.
But you know something, too, Eric? Hmm. They always tell us, too, about the way Reigns dresses.
Mm-hmm.
We always took pride in
you
the
right
way
about
we
that. Yeah, you weren't going to come to school looking no any kind of way.
No,
that's
no.
That's for sure. Oh, no. Mm-mm.
They tell you in a minute, no. you gotta go home and change.
Yes,
you
goodness.
Know, you dressed very well, you know. You had to have clean, neat clothing. In fact, that back in my day, the girls couldn't even wear pants to school.
Oh, wow. Well,
the only time you could wear pants to school was if it was 32 degrees or below.
Really?
And then you had to take them off once you got to school.
So, because you weren't in the cold anymore.
You weren't in the cold anymore. So it was like, wow. But you know something, and I'm going to share this with you because it was something else. You know, I guess by the time you all got there, you were familiar with the school and everything else. But for those of us who were new to the school, it was strange walking into a school that had no windows.
Wow.
You know,
right.
Because all the other schools that we had ever attended had windows. But then when you walked into Rains, you know, there was just windows at the doors, windows which you could see from the courtyard, the senior courtyard,
right,
and stuff. But and of course the library, but the classrooms had no windows, and that was just so amazing. Because that was so new to us.
I bet it was. Wow.
You know, but like I said, during later years, I'm sure that the kids that came in later years after us was like, okay, rain, no windows and stuff like that. But at the time, it was a new thing.
Right. It was a whole new design.
It was a whole new design. Because,
wow.
Like I said, you're familiar with Jacksonville. Northwestern had windows.
A whole bunch of them.
Yeah. George Washington Carver had windows.
Yeah.
And they changed the name of it, but it used to be Moncrief Elementary. They had windows.
I went there for first grade.
So, I went first through fifth.
Wow.
And then went over to George Washington College. So, you know, going to school with no windows, that was like radical. Very radical. You know?
See, we different from the get-go. Oh, my goodness. We are different. We stand out already. From the day one.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it's such a small thing now to the kids. And, you know, like I said, I'm sure by the time you came along, because believe it or not, you graduated 11 years after me. So, you know, you all had heard Rains had already started its reputation.
Right.
By the time you all came along. But for us, it was, you know, it was like, wow. Because the few classes that were ahead of us that started Rains before my class did, you know, they came back and they were like, there's no windows in the school. And yet we couldn't fathom it not being a school with no windows until we actually got there and got inside and saw, you know, and it was like, wow, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. But hey, it is what it is. It's still an institution now. Anybody still wants to go there, is it? Which is a great thing. Even through the troubled times kids still wanted to go there because it's rings. You know, it's part of the neighborhood, just like Rebald is now. You know, it's just part of the neighborhood.
Yeah,
the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what I'm so proud of, and I see it, you know, I'm fortunate because on my page I have the opportunity to see what people who come to the page and read up and stuff on the page don't have the opportunity. They have a different viewpoint than the one I have. That we have a lot of Vikings now who are coming together, who are remembering the good times and the good things about the school and want to be a part of the family. In that, look, there's a guy that was stationed in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was in the Marines, that was stationed in Japan. And he was over there when they had the, what did they call it, Tsunami?
Tsunami.
He was over there during that period of time. And got sent to Okinawa to help out. And at that point in time, Reigns was going through a very bad crisis. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get petitions up, people signing petitions to try to make sure that the school did not close down because of the intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man was in Okinawa, Japan, and he asked me to send him a petition and send him the address so that he could sign the petition and mail it in. This was from Okinawa, Japan.
Wow.
because Reigns was his school and he wanted to help.
Hey,
and I was
pride.
I was like, wow, man, you know, I'm like, but, you know, just coming to the page, you couldn't see something like that happening.
Right.
But being with the page, I could see this.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that there was such a love and pride for the school that no matter where he was, what he was doing, he wanted to make his contribution.
That is a beautiful story. The pride of the Vikings, y'all. Ichiban. all the way over there in Japan. See? And, you know, he's not the only one. There's other Vikings out there that, you know, they stay in touch. I watch them on the page sometimes, or just on Facebook. You see them. You know, like, yeah. Like, what's Charles Rawls? You know, he's always posting something. I laughing.
Yeah.
I said, go ahead, Charles.
But, you know, I tried to make this page basically a home for the Vikings, you know, a place that they can come, they can find out news and information on other Vikings and stuff like this. And I have to say, the Vikings have been tremendous in giving me information in order that all Vikings can share. I don't know if you saw the pictures I posted the other day on the memorial to the slaves that were thrown overboard.
Oh, yes, underwater. That was so beautiful.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw that. That was just too beautiful. You know,
a Viking sent me that.
Mm.
You know, made a special effort to send it to me, and of course, I shared it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something like that. You just You can't help but share it. Made me wish I knew how to swim, because I wanted to go down there and see it myself. You know, like, wow. Man, I mean,
the
it's
army
just
didn't
beautiful.
Teach you how to swim?
No. Well,
they
look, oh, as big as my truck was, I ain't have to worry about it. I could drive through the water. I said up high enough, I didn't have to worry about it.
You should have came to Fort Rucker, dear.
Yeah, I was staying away from Fort Rucker.
they had me out there 6 o'clock in the morning getting in the pool so I could learn to swim.
See, you know what it is? You joined the Army when they were still throwing y'all overboard. See, no, nah, we wouldn't have that one. No.
And that water was cold, Eric.
I can imagine.
You try getting in the cold pool of water at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I had enough culture shock when I had to stand out in the snow in Fort Dick. So, no. No. You know, it's snowing. Why are we standing out here again? You know, because I'm not feeling this right here. You know, number one, I was surprised. I woke up and everything was white outside. I'm like, I didn't hear that last night. You know, I'm just hearing rain and thunder and stuff. I wake up and I went to sleep. It was good. It was normal. I wake up, ain't nothing but white stuff on the ground.
You're lucky. Stand out here
and wait on a dang cattle truck.
You should have been in Monterey, California. You're laying in your bed, and all of a sudden, everything starts shaking.
See, now that is when. You know, that's when you get up, pack your stuff, say, no, this is not what I signed up for here. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
And you ain't got nowhere to go.
Nowhere.
Because everything is shaking. You know, when I packed up to go to Belgium from there, the movers came, they said, because I was sending my stuff home to Florida, right?
Right.
And to go in storage. And the guy said, you going to Florida where all those hurricanes are? I wouldn't want to go there. I told him, I said, hell, you live here in California where you get the earthquakes and the tremors. I'm like, I can drive away from the hurricane. I can drive away from a hurricane. You know, I ain't got time for this.
Nah, for that. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I don't know how I would act if something like that happened. I'd be like, oh no, oh no, it's time to go. And you know, shoot, snow was good. Snow was good. And once I got used to it, okay, this is snow. But no, not earthquakes, no, uh-uh. I want the ground shaking under me, not at all.
Yeah, that was a wicked experience.
I can imagine.
That was a wicked experience.
Especially if you never experienced it before. Wow. That is
just... Yeah, the first time that happened, I was laying up in my bed in the barracks, and the floor in the bed started shaking. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Man. Oh, wow. I can imagine how big your eyes got. Lord.
I'm from Florida. You know, hurricane don't faze me. Cause I don't care how bad the hurricane is. You know, usually the flow ain't going to be moving up under you. That was some freaky stuff. So I can take snow.
Oh, okay. You can take snow. Okay. Well, I can't.
I can take snow.
I can now, but at the time I couldn't. I had never seen it, except on TV. I didn't know what it was supposed to do. It's true. And you know how your feet, you stand out there and they're giving them boots, but the boots get cold after a while and your feet get cold. And then I'm not happy.
I know. I know. And those woolen socks, they don't help once your feet start getting wet.
Mm-mm, not at all. They like add to the problem.
You know, I was just about to say, they just, you know, a plus.
Yeah.
A plus to it.
Wow, that is just now. Nah, see, that's the way to end the show right there. Oh my goodness. Hey y'all been listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Me and Miss Betty Miller, we've been talking about women reigns and Jean Rebaud and the military and a little politics, and we done had us a good time. I want to thank Miss Turner in the chat room. You know, you done learned something about reigns now. Not no Tallahassee Garby or Leon or wherever them little places that you went. Hey, we them Vikings, girl. We roll. Shoot. But you got to stop by more often now. You know, I'm on the air every day, so you need to stop by more often and you know, give us some of your point of view on some of the topics we be talking about every day. Because I know
all
you
right,
got
Erica. Some. But you know, especially right now with this election.
Yes, goodness. You know, so, you know, make sure you stop by more often. If just to give a quick update on what's going on, you know, that I may miss.
Well, thank you for the invite, Eric.
Oh, no problem. I enjoyed having you. And thank you for joining me.
I enjoyed being here. And one last thing. Go Vikings.
Go
Trojans.
look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I found the words to the school song, but I was trying to find somebody singing it. I wasn't successful with that, but I'll work on that for next time.
I'm trying to work on that too. You know, I've been trying to get someone the chorus, if at all possible, to YouTube the school song.
Right. Now, that would be cool. That really would be cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So if any chorus members out there listening, me and Eric both need that school song.
That's right. We sure do. that's right. Hey, if you need the words, no problem. I got the word.
Okay.
Oh, I got the words. All right, Betty. Thank you once again. I got to get up out of here now.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. It's
okay.
Been a pleasure.
Yes, it has. Ichiban.
Ichiban. Hooah.
Hooah. All right. That's Miss Betty Miller, better known as Miss Viking. All right, y'all. It's just been a fun night. I done had fun. Hey, them Vikings are number one. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Hey, all right, y'all. It's time for me to get up out of here. Don't forget tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Fun Friday. Y'all know what we do on Fun Friday. I'm tasing everybody tomorrow night. I'm just telling you. So if you want to listen to something funny, come on, because I'm tasing. Just telling you. But other than that, hey, hug somebody. Tell them you appreciate them. And until then, I'm out of here. See y'all tomorrow.